passada no centro.
Group E has Spain, Costa Rica, Germany and Spain. This is about the most difficult group in the World Cup, in the Qatar 2020 World Cup. And while I was doing a couple of research, a couple of questions stood out that a couple of people had asked on social media. One of the questions that I saw, really, just to summarize it, is what are the hopes for Japan and Costa Rica in this group? I will address that as time comes on. A couple of people also spoke about Jamal Musiala versus Pedri. Is this another platform for us to continue to compare these talents? I mean, I love the idea that we have to compare the two exciting, fantastic talents. So I'm up for it all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But the question that really stuck out to me was from, I think it was from a Barcelona fan. I can't remember his handle right now. But he wrote and he was like, Spain, are they really good? And I thought about it, and my answer will be, I don't know if they are. I think they are, but they might not be. And in a bit to buttress that, I just need to take you back to the Euros. The Euros speak so much about them. So they were quite poor in the first two games of the Euro. I think they did not score a goal, or they scored one. I think Unai Simon had a gaffe in one of the games, and they drew their first two games anyway. And they needed to beat Croatia, I think in Copenhagen or so. They won against Croatia and they scored five goals. They scored a whole lot of goals for a team that struggled to score in the first two games. Then they needed penalty to beat Switzerland. And then they played very, very well against Italy. They were the better team against Italy. But then they lost. But that gives you the overall perspective of Spain. It is this team that dominates possession, sometimes played very well, and very often find it difficult to win winnable games. And there is no, how do I put it? There is no player that embodies Spain as much as Alvaro Morata. Of course, I mentioned earlier that they struggle to get goals, and then you would look up and be like, okay, who has been leading the line? And of course, it's Alvaro Morata. Morata is an actual number nine, but an actual number nine who, well, let me put it simply, divide opinion. He's this kind of striker that you say, yeah, but then what next? Nothing. Yeah, but and that is how Spain also that's the vibe that Spain also give me, like this potentially very good team that could achieve so much, but then and they perform at some games and then give you these hopes, and then some other games you see them and they are so poor and you're wondering how they can flip between being very good and also being poor in the same game at times. Well, ultimately, Spain is a country that is very close to my heart. This could be because I love Real Madrid, or probably the love for Raul, but over the years, Spain is a country that I have followed beyond just football, even political. I really hope to visit one of these days. I've read a whole lot about Bilbao. I've read a whole lot about Mallorca. I mean, I can't wait to be on the Mallorca beach, I mean, having fun and enjoying myself. So Spain is a country that I really, really have a soft spot for, and I usually support football-wise. For every competition, I tend to follow La Roja, even when they were at their peak, and I thought that they would be winning titles. So it was good to even see them at that point winning titles, because I look at the international football scene, you look at the club scene, and then you wonder how Spain continue to struggle at international stage, because they're a country that I personally feel deserves to have much more. They should be like the Brazil of Spain, the Brazil of Europe. Like if Spain has Germany's international record, I wouldn't be surprised. But then it feels so surreal to see that they don't have that pedigree when it comes to international football. Maybe that was another reason I kind of like took interest and supported them all through the years. But this current Spanish national team does not fill me with that much confidence. I look at the players, and while I like a couple of them, they are not players that will really excite me. I think aside Pedri, there is no other player in that team that I'll wake up at 4 a.m. to go and watch. That's the truth. Aside Pedri, I look at the whole team from front to back, even to the manager. And that takes me to my next level of conversation about Luis Enrique. I am not a fan of Luis Enrique. I have not been his fan even as a football player. He's somebody who is very opinionated and a very strong personality. So when he does some of the things that he does, which looks controversial in most cases, I'm not surprised because, hey, it's Luis Enrique. But then what he has done is make the national team look, how do I put it, conceptualize the national team as, conceptualize the way we see the national team, because he does not see it as a reward for good performances. He has said it severally, that he picks the players that fit his system. He picks the players that does the things that he wants. So it's not about how well you perform in your at your club. It's not about how well you perform even when he gives you the chances. It's about doing what he wants. Now, it divides opinion. This is one particular topic that I know that since he took over, we have had severally, and I am here for it all day long also. However, you cannot bet against the man, because even though I don't like his ways, I don't like his style, I don't like his philosophy, I will still tell you that he has taken Spain to Nations League final last year. They are currently in the Nations League Final Four. They qualified for the Euros. They qualified for the World Cup. They got to the European semi-final. I mean, even for a footballing nation like Spain, that is enough success at international level. So at least for the time being, we'll still see what happens at the World Cup. And I'm sure we'll still come back to this conversation of how he picks his players. But for the time being, the man deserves some level of respect for how he has been able to manage, in quotes, his team. Now, another player that excites me on the Spanish national team, whom I feel does not get the credit he deserves, and I think will be very key if they can give him good games in his preferred role, will be Marcos Llorente. If they don't play Marcos Llorente as a right back, if you let him roam in the midfield, he brings something very different from what every other Spanish midfielder has. And I feel like if Luis Enrique unleashed him and allowed him to be himself, he'll be very key for them. But then I look at the squad and something jumps out to me particularly. Of course, it's the goals. Where will the goals come from? You have Alvaro Morata, whom is unreliable, but then he's the one that they will still be relying on for their goals. But Morata will be flanked by attackers who has goals in them, but then not as consistent as you would have expected. So you have Dani Olmo, you have Ferran Torres, you have Asensio, you have Ansu Fati, you have Pablo Sarabia. And I wonder how many of these he'll be able to fit in at the same time. Aside from Ansu, I don't think I can bank on the others getting me goals. Ansu Fati is a special talent. It's unfortunate that his injury may have set him back. But he's the only one, again, among all those guys at the front that seem to be able to do something out of nothing. I would have been gutted if he had dropped him, because I listened to his press conference where he said his final decision was to pick either Borja Iglesias or Ansu Fati. But then he went for Ansu, he explained. And that is one of the good things about Luis Enrique. If you follow his press, if you follow his press conference, Luis Enrique tends to, maybe because he was an ex-footballer, I don't know, but Luis Enrique tends to explain each and every of his decisions. It is now one thing if you agree with him or not, but he tends to do that. And I really appreciate that because it gives me a clear idea of who he is and where he's coming from. If I were a Spanish national team supporter in this World Cup, one of the things that would worry me would be Busquets. Although, we have to give credit to Luis Enrique on that. Because Luis Enrique said, if you create the right structure around Sergio Busquets, he's still one of the best midfielders in the world. So what he tries to do is ensure that Busquets is not running back facing his team. Because once Busquets is running back facing his team, then you are in trouble. What he tries to do is create a system around Busquets that enables Busquets to always be facing the game. And he's one of the best players when it comes to controlling the tempo of the game. Even though he's slow, he has a way of speeding up the games. Because you just see Busquets gets the ball, make a turn, and then he gives the ball to somebody in space, and the whole pitch just opens up. It will be exciting to watch Spain. I have gone about 10 minutes now rambling on about Spain. Like I said, I have a soft spot for them. I'm just not very optimistic about the chances of this current team. I hope in the next couple of years my love for Spain will grow much more and they will have players that I can really, 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 really speak for and be happy with. But this group, you are sure of something, that they will have to slug out the top position with Germany. So from Spain, I will speak also about Germany right now. Germany has Jamal Musiala, whom I spoke about earlier, but I'd like to start with Mario Götze. because what Götze had done for himself, the revival that he has gone through, is amazing. I think it is part of it's okay. Well, just to speak about the revival first, he had moved to PSV Eindhoven last season before he then came to Frankfurt. And one of the things that I think has really helped him is because of the system they play at Frankfurt, where they play with two number 10s, so he's like a 10 and a half. Again, the fact that Marco Rus got injured and unfortunately not able to make another competition must have made the decision easier for Hansi Flick to make. But then, he deserves to be here, and because he'll be playing with Jamal Musiala, it's a system that is very similar to what they do at Frankfurt. So I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the World Cup, Mario Götze comes out as one of the bright spots from this German national team. So it's time to talk about Jamal Musiala, and I wouldn't want to say too much. If you don't know Jamal Musiala, if you have not been watching him regularly, try to watch Germany in this World Cup, and I can place my money on it that you will be impressed. Now, he's a guy that when you see him, you don't expect him to be naturally good at football, but believe me, he's the brightest star of this German national team. He's been the best player of Bundesliga so far. He's such a very good, sweet boy. You can't help but like him. Now, I think their position of strength when it comes to Germany is that role behind striker, the attacking midfielder role, because they tend to have Serge Gnabry, Thomas Müller, Leroy Sané, Jamal Musiala, like I spoke about earlier. And of course, we expect that he'll play a 4-2-3-1. So three of them will be able to fit in at every point in time with Kai Havertz. It is very likely that Thomas Müller will be the one that will drop out. Müller might just end up being an extension of Hansi Flick on the bench, or probably come in to have a conversation, or maybe when things are not going right. I wouldn't be surprised, though, if they start their first game and Thomas Müller did not start. Their weakness is their defensive woes. Nico Schlotterbeck at Borussia Dortmund has been, I don't want to use the word terrible, but has been poor this season. Nicolas Sule, whom I never rated, even when he was at Bayern, is also at Borussia Dortmund and has also been poor, although better than Schlotterbeck. It's surprising that he did not pick Mats Hummels when it comes to footballing terms. Although, again, I can understand, because Hummels has a way of being divisive. He's not very good for the dressing room. I would really have, he's one of the footballers that I would love to have a conversation with, in the sense that he appears to be very intelligent, but whenever he speaks, especially after games, he has a way of throwing his teammates under the bus, whether at club level or at national team level. And I think for squad harmony was the reason it didn't pick him, because if we're being fair, he's been the most consistent German defender so far this season. Now, when we speak of consistent German defender, I'm sure a couple of you would have raised eyebrows and wonder Antonio Rudiger. Yeah, I mean, Rudiger is a player that I admire. I think he has heart. I think he has guts. I think he has ability, pace. He has all it takes at the top level. But let's be frank, he's not been first choice at Real Madrid. He's not been playing regularly. And at this stage, you need players who are fit, who have the form in them, fitness-wise, it's playing regularly also, and confidence going into it. So I have no doubt that Antonio Rudiger will come out as one of the stars of the competition or of the German national team defense. But then it still tells to the fact that he's not playing regularly at Real Madrid. One issue I have with them is the idea of Kai Havertz as a center forward. I mean, this is something that always fascinates me because he never looked comfortable in that role. It is quite surprising, though, that Germany never had a prolific number 9, because this is a country that over the years they've had some very big names. Jürgen Klinsmann, Oliver Bierhoff, Kevin Kurayi, Carsten Janka. But then they are coming into this World Cup with two rookies, Moukoko and I think Nicolas Füllkrug. Nicolas Füllkrug particularly is it's an exciting story, because if you had told me in the summer that he'll be making the World Cup, I'll have told you he would not, but then it's an exciting story. I hope he gets some games. He does not have any international appearance along with Moukoko, so let's see how that goes. But then having the idea of Kai Havertz as number 9, I mean, it does not sell for me, if you ask me. I still think that the cog of this team will be Joshua Kimmich. Kimmich will still be the one running things, and if Kimmich has a very good World Cup, expect that Germany will also do well. It's quite unfortunate that Japan and Costa Rica find themselves in this group, Japan particularly. I was surprised when I looked at the roster and Furuyoshi at Celtic was not picked. Well, that would mean that they have a couple of quality players from the J League, and that's why they can afford to snub him because I saw him against Real Madrid and I thought he was quite good. Well, judging by those two games, though. They have quite a number of players playing at the elite league of European football, particularly in Bundesliga. I particularly like Kamada at Frankfurt, Minamino, Tomiyasu, and Mitoma at Brighton, to mention a few. So they have a couple of players there. They have quite a good team. I think if they were in another group, one would fancy their chances to make it out of the group. It's brutal that they have Spain and Germany, but then you still expect that they play good football. They would be dragging for the third place, no doubt, for the third and fourth place with Costa Rica. Costa Rica is another exciting story. They were looking like they were doomed when Luis Fernandez took over. He took over and won six of their last seven games. And he gave a press conference that I find very interesting because he said that when he took over, he had a meeting with over 77 players. Actually, he used over 77 players in the qualification in the last seven games. And they won six of those seven games. So at the end of the day, he went with a team that had either you're too old, I mean, they're too old. I'm talking about Brian Ruiz, who is 37 years old, Joel Campbell, Keylor Navas, or the young ones whom he described as not having enough experience at this level. But he said he had to go for that because the old guys were the ones that invigorated the team, that got the team back into place. So they deserve to be at the World Cup. All in all, this is a group that I expect Spain and Germany to come out as winners. One of the common things about this group is that none of these teams has a prolific number nine, so we'll see where the goals come out from. Thank you so much for staying with me. Once again, my name is JB. I'll be with you again soon. Bye.